Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Dalet, chapter 44. This chapter begins with the word Va'ata, and now, clearly connecting it to the last chapter. Some commentaries like Rashi see this as a chronological progression. The content of this chapter is comfort. The purpose of the rebuke delivered at the end of the last chapter is so that the people will change their ways. And if we do so, this comfort will begin. Radak sees this as being similar to juxtapositions that we have seen in the past. That even though Hashem has rebuked us, like in the last chapter, he follows that with comfort to let us know that despite his rebuke, we are not lost. This is indicated in verse 2 that calls us Avdi, my, meaning Hashem's servant. It is not uncommon for a master to rebuke a servant. His hope is that the servant will learn from the rebuke and change, and will thus be welcomed back with open arms. This is the case here. Va'ata shma Yaakov avdi v'Yisrael b'charti vo. But hear now, Jacob my servant, Israel whom I have chosen. Hashem chose us, and that does not change. What must change is our behavior. Ko amar Hashem osecha v'yotzercha mibeten yazreka. Thus says Hashem, your maker, your creator, who has helped you since birth. I have helped you and formed you since the womb. The womb here, as in many places, can refer to exile. It is a place of constriction and confinement, but its purpose is to grow and develop the fetus. As we know, the original exile in Egypt was called the Kur HaBarzel, the iron furnace, the place where we are purified due to hardships. Hashem tells us that he was there with us, and is here with us in exile as well. But ultimately, we want out. And the Navi fulfills that desire, at least in promise. He begins this part by calling us Yeshurun, which is the name that indicates Bnei Yisrael at their best, upright and straight from the root Yashar. When we do live up to that name, when we fulfill our purpose of being Avdi, Hashem's servants, what will happen? Verse 3, Ki etzak mayim al tameh, v'nozlim al yabasha, etzok ruchi al zarecha, uvir chasi al tzeetzaecha. Even as I pour water on thirsty soil and rain upon dry ground, so will I pour spirit on your offspring, my blessing upon your descendants. Referring either to spiritual or physical plenty, water is always a life source. And what will this water produce? And they shall sprout like grass, like willows by streams. Not only will we receive reward, but we will flourish in that we will become righteous and develop spiritually. The redemption is not just a time of reward to those who do good, but as we have seen many times before, it is a time when we can all grow spiritually, because those things that hold us back will disappear. The physical reward that we receive is that we will be able to come close to God, because we will not become concerned. We will not be concerned with physical things, and because God's presence will be so obvious. Something that has always stayed with me, that I heard from my husband's Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lopiansky, is that this is a defining feature of Torah and of Judaism. Our ultimate reward is a spiritual one, and this separates us from other religions. Lest one think that when everyone recognizes Hashem, that their own personal service will be subsumed and insignificant, the prophet continues, Zeh yomar laHashem ani, v'zeh yikra v'shem Yaakov, v'zeh yichtov yado laHashem, u'v'shem Yisrael yichana. One shall say, I am Hashem's. Another shall use the name of Yaakov. Another shall mark his arm, belonging to God, and adopt the name of Israel. Different sections of the Jewish people will proclaim their recognition of Hashem in different ways, but they will all do so. The rest of this chapter focuses on the falsehood that is the world of idol worship. This falsehood is very relevant to us because it is what is in our hands to change. First, Hashem defines his own essence, his unity, in order to contrast it with Lahavdil, totally different, the world of idolatry. Ko amar Hashem melech Yisrael v'goalo, Hashem tzvakos, ani rishon v'ani acharon, umi bil adai ein Elokim. Thus says Hashem, King of Israel, their Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God but me. Now, he will contrast that to the false world that some believed in at the time. And as we will see, this applies to us as well. Yotzrei Fesel Kulam Tohu, the makers of idols, they all work to no purpose. Mi Yatzar El Ufesel Nasach, whoever it is that creates the idol, Livilti Ho'il, should know better than anyone that it cannot help or affect change. This is something that is so obvious and clear to us. And when the time comes to answer for their actions, these people, Hein Kol Chavirav Yevoshi V'Charashim Heima Me'adam, all its adherents will be shamed because these things that they worshipped, they are crafted from humans. Yiskaptzu Kulam Ya'modu Yifchadu Yevoshi Yachad. Let them all assemble and stand up. They will be embarrassed and they will be shamed. They will react like a child does when he knows he has done something wrong. The futility will be so clear to them that they will just lower their heads in shame. They will have nothing to say. The Navi continues to describe the work and effort that goes into maintaining idols. And on the flip side, our logical betrayal of God, who in his kindness continues to provide us with all of the materials that we use to betray him. And yet now, we work so hard to build and maintain our idols. There seems to be an incomprehensible foolishness on the part of the worshiper, which is stated here poetically. V'haya la'adam leva'er, v'yikach mehem, v'yacham af, yasik v'afal lechem. All the trees of the forest, in the last verse, are for many to burn, and he takes some to warm himself, and he builds a fire and bakes bread. Af yifal el v'yishtachu asahu fesel v'yisgad lamo. He also makes a god of it and bows to it. He fashions an idol and prostrates himself. Chetzio saraf b'moesh al chetzio basar yochal yochal yitzle tali v'yisba af yachom v'yomar ha'ach hamosi ra'isi ur. Part of it he burns in a fire. On that part, he roasts meat. He eats the roast and is satiated. And then he warms himself and he cries, I am warm. I can feel the heat. So what does he do with the rest? U'she'eriso la'el asa lefis lo. Yiskad lo v'yishtachu. V'yispalel ela v'yomar hatzileni ke'iliata. He takes the rest of the wood and he makes a god, his own carving. He bows down to it, he worships it, he prays to it, and he cries, save me, for you are my God. This man is pleased with his industriousness. Look, he used the same piece of wood for two purposes. He warmed himself, he cooked, he satiated himself, and he also managed to make a god with the same wood. Meanwhile, anyone else looking can see the absurdity. Somehow this man never thinks to himself to say, now that I have enough to cook my meat, should I bow to the rest of the block of wood? V'halo yomar, halo sheker b'yamini. He never says to himself, this thing in my hand is false. Here we are speaking about the obvious foolishness of idolatry, a sin for which the Jews of the first temple were immersed, in which the Jews of the first temple were immersed, and for which they were rebuked continually. But this seems so far away from us. Ultimately, the first temple was destroyed partially because of this. We have a basic understanding that there was an inclination toward idol worship that was eventually destroyed, and that therefore we can't really connect to it. But still, in this section, the prophet continually ridicules the service of idols as incomprehensibly ridiculous. The Navi says in verse 18 that they are blinded, that they cannot see the foolishness and evil of what they are doing. So was this understandable or not? Was this inclination to serve idols so strong that it wasn't so foolish, or was it really foolish? The answer to this question is what makes these verses applicable to us now, despite the fact that the specific action is out of the question for us practically. While we cannot connect the desire for this specific sin, the Jewish people were blinded then the way we all are to negative actions in which we are immersed. We all do things that we would quickly recognize as destructive and even evil if we were objective outsiders. This blindness comes as a result of multiple bad choices that are made when desire pushes us to ignore clarity, logic, and our better inclinations. The message that we can take for ourselves is that our own sins are just as absurd when seen without the blindness of desire. And so the prophet turns to us and begs us not to be so foolish. Zachar ele Yaakov Yisrael ki avdi ata. Remember these things, Jacob. For you, Israel, are my servant. Yitzarticha avedli. Ata Yisrael lo sinashani. I fashioned you to be my servant. Never forget me. Machisi chav shecha v'chanan chatosecha. I will wipe away your sins like a cloud, your transgressions like a mist. Shuva elai ki ge'alticha. Come back to me, for I redeem you. Not I will redeem you, but I already have. The moment you return to me, you are automatically redeemed. Because as we have seen throughout, the ultimate purpose of redemption is exactly that, the closeness to Hashem. This is a verse that we repeat many times on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to encourage us that repentance will work. We are not so besmirched as to be irreparable. And the result will be jubilant celebration of the earth and mountains and trees that we formerly used for sin. Not only will idolatry be proven futile, but even those things that we sometimes confuse with God, like science and wisdom. Meishiv chachamim achor, v'datam yisakal. Hashem will turn sages back and make nonsense of their knowledge. Those who rely exclusively on wisdom and think that it is only logic and worldly wisdom that predicts the future, they will be proven wrong. Mekim devar avdo. He confirms the word of his servant, Va'atzas malachav yashlim, and fulfills the prediction of his messengers. It will be Hashem's servants and Hashem's messengers who are ultimately vindicated. This prophecy, juxtaposed to the rebuke about idolatry, is telling. We laugh at those who worshiped wood, which is justified as the Navi ridicules them as well. But the Navi continues and tells us, the day will come when wise men that we thought of as all-knowing will be proven wrong. We laugh at the idolaters, but we ourselves put too much stock and weight in belief systems besides Torah. It is illogical and unscientific that Hashem should save the Jewish people and return them to their land. But it will happen because the predictions of Hashem's prophets are stronger and more meaningful than any wisdom. This chapter ends with a foreshadow to the next one about the building of the second temple. Ha'omar l'choresh ro'i v'chol cheftzi yashlim. Hashem, whose words are the only absolute, is the same who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall fulfill all my purposes. V'le'mor li'Yerushalayim tibaneh v'heichal tivasad. And he, Hashem, shall say of Jerusalem, she shall be rebuilt, and to the temple you shall be founded again. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.